Let's turn to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11, beginning from verse 2.
And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and a fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, and shall rule with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that beget her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. And shall also carry captive into Egypt their gods with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. And the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land, but his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through. Then shall he return, and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he has taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of the people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set up his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But the prince of his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face towards the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fatness places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil the riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand. For they shall forecast devices against him, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. And at that time appointed he shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former, or as the latter. For the ships of the Shittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people shall, that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flames, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. I will stop here in verse 35.
What I'm going to do, as we are studying Daniel 11 and 12, really, we are dealing with the conclusion of the book of Daniel, and especially dealing with the two chapters which really deal with the last vision that Daniel had received, beginning from chapter 10, if you remember, and verse 1, We have said in the last session that Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1 to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 1 deals with the introduction to the final vision that Daniel had received. And so the introduction to the prophecy that Daniel received was Daniel 10:1 to Daniel 11:1. Today we are going to begin with Daniel 11 and verse 2. And specifically, the verses really, verse 2 to chapter 12 and verse 4, deal with the prophecy itself. The prophecy, the final prophecy that Daniel had received. And so really, we have here in this particular chapter, history set before us, before it really happens. And so the way it is being written, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take really a verse at a time, and we are not going to cover with a lot of details, because there are details here that really you got to be an historian to be able to go into the actual details that we have here in these verses. So I would like just to highlight some of the verses that we have here before us. First of all, just to mention, Daniel 11, verse 2 to 35, we have the rule of God over the people, or His people Israel, during the first 69 weeks of years which have been given to us in Daniel chapter 9. And then when we get to chapter 11, verses 36 to the end, including chapter 12 and verse 4, we have really the God's rule over His nation Israel during the 70th week of Daniel, which is the tribulation period. Now there is so much history here that I have, when I was listening and reading a little bit about it, there is so much details here that some people do not even believe that this is history from Daniel vantage point. Some people say, well, you know, it is really something that had been known ahead of time by someone, and he wrote it down point by point. But we see here, as Daniel received this information from God, we can really see that God is giving Daniel history before it really even happened. Now let me just highlight some of the verses here. But before I'm going to give you this highlight, I want to refresh your mind. In chapter 10, verses 1 to verse, chapter 11, verse 1, we had this information that Daniel received from this angel. And it is interesting that this particular man, this particular angel that we have been reading about and studying about in chapter 10, especially the last verses, if you remember, in the last verses of chapter 10, we find out that there was a real conflict in the heavenly places. You notice what it says here? Let me just read verse 19 of Daniel chapter 10. And he said, O men greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, you know that whereof I come unto thee, he says, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, the prince of Gersha shall come, and I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. And then verse 1 of chapter 11, also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him, that is Michael. You know, we learn in the last chapter, chapter 10, that there was a conflict in the heavenly spheres where the angelic beings are really struggling together, if you will. In other words, God's good angels have in mind to give Daniel the plan of the future plan concerning the people of Israel, but we have the false, if you will, the Satan and his angels seeking to hinder God's word to come to Daniel. So for 21 days, for 3 weeks, there was a struggle, if you will, that this particular man needed the help of Michael, the prince of Daniel's people, the prince of Israel. And so he came to help him at the end of the 21 days. He helped him. Then that man, that angel, came to Daniel and he began now to give him the instruction about future events that will happen for the people of Israel. But he told Daniel, you know, Daniel, in the past, in the first year of Darius, the Medes, I stood to confirm and to strengthen also Michael. You know what? I have helped him in the past, the same way like I needed help in this present time to come to give you this information. So can you imagine, God wanted to give Daniel the plan of his dealing with his people Israel, but there was a hindrance by satanic power, if you will, from letting this information to come to Daniel. But finally it did. Finally it did. So what we find now, that from verse 2 on, God gives a detailed information to Daniel concerning future events. So, let me just read a few verses here. First of all, I want to read, in verse 2, there is a summary of the rulers of Persia that this man gives Daniel to know. Notice it says in verse 2, and now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet, notice the word yet, 3 kings in Persia, and the 4th shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia, of Greece. Let's just pause here for a moment. What we find out here, that Daniel received now from this man, from this angel, information, or if you will, a summary information about the rulers of Persia. You remember what we have read already earlier, if you remember, he mentioned in chapter 10, the prince of Persia, in verse 20, and the prince of Grecia, in verse 20. He already mentioned that he received help from Michael with respect to the prince of Persia. Now he is giving us the prince of Persia. By the way, in chapter 10 has to do with the angel that was, if you will, the angel of Persia. Now he is giving us a detailed information about the summary of the rulers of Persia. So apparently in verse 2 of Daniel chapter 11, there shall stand up yet, looking yet to the future, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia. Now there are those who know all the details. Now I just marked the names, some of the names, Cambyses, Cyrus' son, reigned from 529 to 521. Then Pseudo, Pseudo, reigned in 521. And thirdly, Darius the First reigned from 521 to 487. He's mentioned in Ezra chapter 4. So those 3 kings that he's mentioning here in verse 2, yet 3 kings in Persia will stand. So he's giving to Daniel the information that there will be still 3 kings are coming in Persia after Cyrus' son. Then we have the one that reigned in 521 BC, and then Darius, the first, 521 to 487. Now, Daniel did not know. What does he know? He was just receiving information about future events that are going to happen. Now, if you and I are going to read about historically, going to read about it, we'll find a lot of information about those kings. Now, I don't know, a person must be a historian to go through this information, to find out all these details. But now notice that. In verse 2, he's still continuing. He tells us there's an additional king. It says here, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. In other words, there will be a fourth king. And by the way, there are other kings after him that yet would come before the Greeks will take become the next kingdom. But the fourth king is Artaxerxes. This is what we call in Hebrew Ahasuerus, or Ahasuerus, you would say in English. He is the one that ruled in the time in the book of Esther. When we read about him in the book of Esther, he ruled from 485 to 464 BC, and you notice that it says that he's going to be far richer than they all. You know, it is interesting that he was so rich. If you read the book of Esther, you remember in chapter 1 of the book of Esther, he made a great feast. And you remember how many princes came to that feast. If I'm correct, what was it, 127? 127 came from all over to celebrate that. And if you remember, he is the one that eventually, Esther, the Jewish girl, ended up to be his wife. The next queen of Persia. And so what we find out, that he gives him, you know, details. I'm not an historian, but imagine for a person who likes details, to look into history and to begin to find out about those three kings and then the fourth king that came after, the wealthy, the rich king. And ultimately there were other kings that came after until the kingdom of Persia had ended. And if you remember when we studied Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, we saw that there were four kingdoms. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and eventually the Romans. And then we had the revived Roman Empire in the future day, which finally the Messiah will come and will totally destroy with the power of his coming. And he is going to be the one that is going to establish a kingdom which will have no end. So in verse 2, we see a summary of the rulers of Persia. Basically, we see three, the one that have been, first of all, plus three, plus the fourth one, and we don't have any more details, but there were an additional few kings before the next kingdom entered in. Now, here's the next kingdom. The next kingdom is verses 3 and 4. In verse 3 and 4, and let me read those two verses, and a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity or family or children or his family, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. Now verse 2, I should say verse 3 and 4 gives us a summary of the kingdom of Greece. What we have here really in verse 2, first of all, in verse 2 we have Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. It says here in verse 3, a mighty king shall stand up. You know very well the story of Alexander the Great. He was a young man when he conquered, when he became a king, and in 336 to 323 BC, he was a king who ruled Greece. And it says here about Alexander that he would be a mighty king. We read of him in chapter 7. We read of him in chapter 7 when it comes to the image. We read of him in chapter 7 when he's come to the four beasts, the third beast there. And we read of him here again. He would be that mighty king that shall stand up. And then it said, and that he shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And that is exactly what he did. He was a young man, and by the way, in 323 BC, Alexander died. And what happened is, it says here in the next verses, in actually verse 4, there was a division of his kingdom. Instead of his family to inherit the kingdom, no, eventually, actually, his four generals that have led his army were the ones that the kingdom have been divided to. It says here in verse 4, he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven. And it is interesting that those four generals, and I have their name here, Ptolemy, Seleucus, Lysimachus, and Cassander. Those four generals have taken over the kingdom, but you know what, as we go on, as time went on, the two major generals and the two major kingdoms have taken over, the north and the south. And the northern kingdom has been placed in Syria, north of Israel, straight north of Israel, and the southern kingdom was in Egypt. And so from these verses we discover that his kingdom had been divided into four. It had been broken, divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not, notice it says, and not to his posterity, his family or his children, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And so really what we have here in verse 2, we have a summary of the kingdom of Persia. In verse 3 and 4, we have a summary of the kingdom of Persia. And actually, from verse 5 on, all the way to verse 35, and that is where I'm not going to go into details, because not only that I cannot go into a lot of details here, because there's so much historical details here that one need to really sit down and begin to write name after name after name after name of kings and rulers that rule in Syria. This is the northern Grecian kingdom, and Egypt. This is the southern Grecian kingdom. And so what we have here now in the next verses, from verse 5 to verse 35, we really have a summary, or if you will, a detailed information, which summed up in those verses between the warfare that existed between the king of the north and the king of the south. Now, when we say in Daniel chapter 11, verse 5 to 35, when we say the king of the north and the king of the south, we don't mean the far north. We mean north, which has to do with Syria, the Grecian Syrian king, or kings, I should say, and the southern kings, which are the Egyptians, Grecian Egyptian kings. Now, let me just break this a little bit into two sections here. I'll read that. Verse 5 to 20. Let me read those verses so we just get an idea. Verse 5 to 20. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that beget her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he had taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. But the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of the people shall exalt themselves to establish division, but they shall fall. So the king of the south shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright once with him, thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face into the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face towards the fort of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall, and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now, as we are reading these verses, obviously you can see from verses 5 to 20, I don't know if you notice, a few times the words mention the king of the south and the king of the north. You notice, by the way, verse 5, the king of the south, Egypt. Verse 6, the king of the north, Syria. Then if you just go ahead and you notice, verse 7, the king of the north. Verse 8, king of the north. Verse 9, king of the south. Verse 11, king of the south. Verse 11 again, king of the north. Verse 13, king of the north. Verse 14, king of the south. Verse 15, king of the north. And if you just read those verses, there is so much detail here in verses 5 to 20. Really, what we have in verses 5 to 20, we have the conflict which existed between Ptolemies, or the Ptolemies kings of Egypt, and the Seleucus kings of Syria. That's what we have here. We have here a detailed information about the warfare that existed between the kings, if you will, the descendants of those two kings, the kings of the north and the kings of the south. So verses 5 to 20 take us through the conflict which existed between the kings and their successors, the king of the north, Syria, and the king of the south. And guess what? In between, in the middle of these two, north Syria, south Egypt, the land of Israel is there. And every time there was a warfare between the two, somehow it affected the land of Israel and the Jewish people. In fact, you notice, by the way, it says in verse 16, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. Somehow, in between the two north and south, the successors of those two kings, the Grecians, Syrian, and Egyptian kings, the north and the south, the people of Israel, the glorious land, is right in the middle. And so really what we have in verses 5 to 20, we have the conflict that existed between those two kingdoms, while the Jewish people is right in the middle. And the people of Israel has suffered tremendously as those warfare were carrying on. I have some names of kings that I'm not going to pass to you because I cannot even pronounce some of these names here, but you'll have to read it for yourself in history books and biblical people who have written about it. But let's move on. In verse 21 to 35, we are still under the God's dealing or God's ruling over Israel during the first 69 weeks. We still receive information, or Daniel still receive information about events that were going to happen to the Jewish people, to Daniel's people Israel, during the 69 weeks. Which means, from the time of the Jewish people going back to the land, up till the time that really the end of the 69 weeks, and then of course we have the church age, which is a period that is in between the 69 weeks and the final 70th week. But notice, interesting, in verse 21 to verse 35, we hear about another individual, another king, that is really part of the kingdom of the north, the king of the north, which is another wicked, wicked king, which we find in the history of the Jewish people, the history of our people, our Jewish people. And this king is none else but Antiochus Epiphanes. Let me read a little bit about him. First of all, how did he risen to power? In verses 21 to 24, we find out how did he arrive to power. First of all, it says in verse 21, he usurped the throne, it says here, and in his place, this is in the place of that other king that was prior to him, shall stand up a vile person. That evil, vile person that is spoken about here is a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. This man, it says here in verse 21, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. You see, that man, Antiochus, he was a wicked king. and he have obtained the kingdom by flattery. We read here in verse 21. So he usurped the kingdom. It was really not belong to him. He usurped it. He was, and again, you need to read details about it in history. How he have taken that place. How did he arrive to become that king of the north? By the way, he reigned from 175 to 163 BC. This was the reign of Antiochus, that wicked Antiochus Epiphanes. It says in verse 22 now, the description of his power, what kind of power he had, it says in verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. By the way, we read about his power here. We read about the fact that this particular king will be very powerful. And it says also that before him, with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowed from before him. In other words, when you talk about a flood, it has to do with power, with military power. He will be the one that will force himself upon the kings before him, take, usurp the kingdom, and then it says here that even the prince of the covenant, that has to do with the leaders of Israel, who would, if you will, the prince of the covenant, the priests, the leadership of Israel will be influenced by that king, who will try to produce among the people of Israel, if you will, a Grecian influence, Hellenistic influence. Then in verse 23, we read about the work of deceit. What he does, he's a deceitful king. In verse 23, and after the league made with him, he shall walk deceitfully, and he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Again, deceitfully, he will walk deceitfully, and there will be made league. He will make league with a few of the leaders of the people, of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, and they will be influenced by his Hellenistic influences. He will seek to take away everything that has to do with Jewish godly attitude, and he will try to influence upon the Jewish people all kind of Hellenistic views. And then notice in verse 24, we read about him as well. It says here, and he shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches. Yea, and he shall, as it says, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And so in verse 24, it says that he will do things which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He will do certain things that even his forefathers have never done, that wicked king by the name of Antiochus. And so, in verse 21 to 24, we see his rise to power and how he have arrived to this position. Then in verse 25 to verse 28, we have the campaign against Egypt, the Egyptians. In verse 25 to verse 28, it was his first campaign. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. The king of the south is the king of Egypt. With a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him.
Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. Apparently he will be tricked, and those that have been fed by him, that received from him, eventually they have devices against him, as he says in verse 25. And then verse 27, both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one fable, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. You notice on the way back that he's returning from Egypt, what he's going to do, he's going again through the land of Israel. And he notice what he says here in verse 28, he will return into his own land with a great riches, verse 28, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. Again, the holy covenant has to do with the people of Israel, with the Jewish people. And when he is going to return, he is going to make havoc to the Jewish people. I have marked for myself here, on his return from Egypt, he heard of the Jewish revolt desiring independence. He was so furious that what did he do? He killed 49,000 Jewish people, and then he sold an additional 40,000 Jewish people as slaves. That's what he did when he came back from his war against Egypt, on his first campaign against the Egyptians, against the king of the south. Again, in the middle, the Jewish people. Always in the middle. Again, the suffering that we see here, the problems that the Jewish people had experienced from the king of the north and the king of the south. But specifically here, we have that vile person is mentioned in verse 21, really, namely, Antiochus Epiphanes. Now let me just make a couple more points here before we're going to get to verse 35. In verse 29 and the first part of verse 30, we see another campaign that he had against Egypt. It's not the second campaign, it's the third campaign against Egypt. And again, let me read that. For the ships of Shittim shall come, verse 29. At the time appointed he shall return. You see, he is going again another war. And he will come towards the south, again he's coming towards the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of the Shittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. Again, you notice again, he's going to be upset, and again he's coming back again against the holy covenant, which again has to do with the people of Israel, the Jewish people. Now, beloved, this is history. Is being told Daniel before it's happening. And you and I, of course, look today back to events that have happened, and there are some people who put it for us on paper to read history, but as far as Daniel is concerned, it was given to him to look to the future of events that were going to happen. So, his rise to power, verses 21 to 24. The first campaign against the Egyptians, verse 25 to 28. The third campaign against the Egyptians, verse 29 and verse 30a. Then fourthly, in this connection, the second part of verse 30 to verse 35, the persecution of the Jewish people. Look at this. Let me read that. It says in verse 30b, it says this, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. This will be some Jewish people who will really going to be what we call it apostate Jewish people who will agree to follow after him. So as it says in verse 30 at the end, them that forsake the holy covenant. You know, it is amazing in the history of Israel. How you find out those that have been faithful to the word of God. But there were always those, just the same like in the day of the church age in which we live in, there are those who are willing to forsake the truth of the word of God. Well, here we find out there were those who, as it says here, they forsook the holy covenant. They were Jewish individuals that agreed with the lifestyle that Antiochus had introduced to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And so, as it says here in verse 30b, he shall return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Verse 31, arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary and of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall put, or shall place there, the abomination which maketh desolation. Now, again, I want you to notice, this happened historically to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. In fact, the whole feast, which we call the feast of dedication, the feast of Hanukkah, happened historically in the past after the abomination of desolation had been set in the temple in Jerusalem, where this man by the name of Antiochus have really placed an image an altar, and they put pigs, they offer to Zeus in the temple of God. As it says here, he has stopped, he has caused to stop the daily sacrifices. And then what he did, they shall place there the abomination which maketh desolation. Now, what we see here is a picture, a mini picture of the future day when the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah, will come and will also do even worse than what we see here in a time of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, if you just for a minute go back to chapter 8 for a second, just put your finger here and go back to chapter 8. So verse 30 and 31, which we have read, is the persecution of the Jews. Just go back to chapter 8 of Daniel. We have studied that already. In chapter 8, we read in verse 9. Chapter 8 and verse 9. Out of one of them came a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. That little horn is Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse 10, and it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And again we remember, there when it speaks about the host of heaven, has to do with the host of heaven, has to do with the Jewish people, the people of Israel. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and he stamped upon them. And then verse 11, he magnified himself. He magnified himself. And then we continue, and we say, even to the prince of the host, and so on. And notice it says in verse 11, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And then you remember verse 13 of chapter 8, it said, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? And the answer was, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You remember we talked about it already, that the sanctuary had been cleansed in 165 B.C. It was the persecution of the Jews, and finally, when the Maccabees, this was the revolt of some of the Jewish people who revolted against the Greek Syrian king and the army, and eventually they have cleansed the temple from what Antiochus Epiphany have done. And so back to chapter 11, in verses 32 to 35, notice the response of the Jewish people. You know, when he put the abomination of desolation, an image of Zeus, and pigs have been offered on the altar there, in verses 30 and 31, then we have in verse 32 to 35, the response of the Jewish people. Notice, first of all, in verse 32, the corrupting of some Jewish individual. Notice verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. Again, these some, such which do wickedly against the covenant. Again, these are some Jewish individuals that have been corrupted by him through flatteries. Oh, you know, he's talking, he's a great talker, that king have been. Then in verse 32b, we have the faithful Jewish people. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, there will be those who would believe in the God of Israel and will not allow him to do, and not submit to Antiochus and to his flattery. Then, verse 33, the godly Jewish people will teach others the proper way. Verse 33, and they that understand, in Hebrew the word maskil, laskil, to understand, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. They will instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil for many days. You know, there will be those godly Jewish people in the time of Antiochus. They will not follow after him, but they will pay a price for that. They will pay a price for that. By the way, Matityahu, the story, you know, the story of the Maccabees, there was a man by the name of Matityahu. And Matityahu lived in an area not too far from Jerusalem. And there, he had five sons, one of them was Judah, the Maccabee. They called him Maccabee, mean lehakot. Makkah means the hammer, the hammers. And they were the ones that were hammering against the Syrian army. They had arranged a kind of a military army that was really, they were fleeing or running away and then attacking the Syrian. Every time they were attacking the armies of the Syrian, the Greek Syrian, who were influencing the people of Israel. Now, those are the ones that they have attacked, they have instructed the people of Israel. They have not offered any pigs on the altar, they have not worshipped Zeus and so on. But you know what happened? They say that all the sons of Matityahu have died, but none of them have died through natural way. All of them have died for the sake of fighting the fight against the Assyrians. And the beauty, it was a beautiful story. There's a story that we often read at home, the story of Hanukkah, the feast of dedication, how because of these Maccabees, because of these men who stood for the truth of God, we had a temple, and not too many years later, guess who came to this temple and was walking in the temple in the feast of dedication? John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus the Messiah walking in this temple in John chapter 10 in the feast of dedication. But of course by that time the vast majority of the influence of the Pharisaic influence had been that when the Messiah had come, Israel did not recognize that the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, is truly the Messiah. But when we are speaking here about the daily sacrifice in verse 31, the abomination which maketh desolate in verse 31, we are speaking about the temple. And we're speaking about the image of Zeus placed in the temple, the daily sacrifices which God had given the people of Israel to be placed upon the altar, stopped because of Antiochus Epiphany. Well, quickly, a few more points here that we want to mention. In verse 34, there is a help that the people of Israel received from that Maccabees that I have been mentioned. In verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. You see, again, the help that they will receive from the Maccabees who will not follow Antiochus, but somehow, as it says here, many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And then verse 35, God sometimes allow persecution for his people in order to chasten them and to bring him to himself. God sometimes allows it. In verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, as we study this, as you look at these verses, you know, sometimes we ask the reason, why does God allow persecution to his people? Why does God allow us as believers today sometimes to go through persecutions and trials? Well, you know, we can read some verses like Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, God had a purpose for Israel. And that's what God is telling Daniel through this man, this angel. There are certain events that are going to happen to your people until the fullness of time will come and no more. And so verse 35, it says, listen, some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, to purge, to make them white, even, notice this expression, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. God was telling to Daniel through this man, when Daniel was so much concerned about what's going to happen with the future of the people of God, the people of Israel, God says, listen, here's what's going to happen. Chapter 11, verse 1, all the way to verse 35, I should say verse 2, all the way to verse 35, has to do with events that were going to happen to the Jewish people during the 69 weeks of Daniel, of Daniel chapter 9. 69 weeks take them all the way up to when? Up till the time of the, if you will, up till the time when the 70th week began. And the 70th week which we begin has to do with the tribulation period. Which means that as far as you and I are concerned, the 70th week is still in the past, in the future. What's happening from verse 2 to verse 35 is totally has to do with history. In fact, most Bible teachers believe that between verse 35 and verse 36, there is a gap of time, which is really the church age today. Verse 36 takes us all the way to the future, as far as we are concerned. Verse 35 and before verse 35 or verse 2 is still past tense. Take us all the way to the history of the Jewish people up till the time, like including even today. But the church age is not seen here in this junction and these verses.